This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 30th of May 2021. Today we bring you the Club Focus Edition, where we've given space to amateur radio clubs to strut their stuff. We've got the regular Club Focus series discussing what not-for-profit means, Roy's Amateur Radio Helpline, and a discussion on why we need the Wireless Institute of Australia, or something like it. There's another update on Perth Tech, and you'll be hearing more of these as we go, because we start the Perth Tech plan with a blank slate, and it builds up as we go. Steve tells us about his trip to Christmas Island, where he's activating VK9XX. And did you notice the use of the present tense? Because he's there now. We've got more to tell you in this bulletin, and it's all about amateur radio, and it's all relevant to Western Australia. Find out more about News West and amateur radio in Western Australia by visiting our website, vk6.net. If your club is supposed to be not-for-profit, why are you selling hamburgers for a profit, or anything else for that matter? Welcome to Club Focus, and today I'll be talking about what the term not-for-profit means to your club. I've often heard people railing against an organisation that is not-for-profit, making money on various scales, usually depending on the size of the organisation. To get to the heart of the matter, let's look at how not-for-profit is implanted in our rules. I think it's fair to say that most amateur radio clubs in Western Australia are incorporated associations. Each will have based their rules, that is their constitution, on the model rules provided by the Department of Fair Trading. So, right up front, just after the objects, is this paragraph. The property and income of the association shall be applied solely towards the promotion of the objects of the association, and no part of that property or income may be paid or otherwise distributed directly or indirectly to members except in good faith in the promotion of those objects, including without limitations payments by way of reimbursements of expenses or remuneration to any officer, employee or other person doing work for the association. Then at the other end of the document is this one. Distribution of surplus property on winding up of the association. If upon winding up or dissolution of the association there remains after satisfaction of all its debts and liabilities any property whatsoever, the same must not be paid to or distributed among the members or former members. The surplus property must be given or transferred to another association incorporated under the Act, which has similar objects and which is not carried out for the purposes of profit or gain to its individual members, and which association shall be determined by resolution of the members. Those two clauses make it clear that the principle of not-for-profit means that the members of the organisation may not personally profit in cash or kind. It's also clear that reimbursement or payment for services provided aren't counted as profit. There's nothing to say that the organisation couldn't sell 1,000 hamburgers in a day, making a tidy profit. Or they could purchase a property and sell it at the later date and make a profit. There's a clear line drawn between the club making a profit and applying that income towards achieving its objects, and the club making a profit and splitting the proceeds between its members. The former is enshrined in the rules, and the latter is forbidden. What you need to do with this information is to stash it in your memory bank, because sooner or later, someone will try to say that the club isn't allowed to raise funds by making a profit because it's a not-for-profit association. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ. As previously mentioned on the NCRG Club Focus segment, I'll be operating from Christmas Island between the 28th of May, which is this Friday, just gone, and the 11th of June. I'll be taking a fairly simple system, an FT857D with a Soda Beams multiband dipole cut for 20, 30, 40 and 80 metres, which was loaned to me by Glenn, VK6PAW. Thanks, Glenn. I hope to have it up around about 10 metres off the ground with a 180 degree view of the sea to the west of the island. As I'm working while I'm there, I'll most likely be only be operating in the evenings and early mornings from about 1100 to 1500 Zulu and 2200 to 000 Zulu each day. I think the majority of the operation will be on FT8 as the antenna is simple and I'm not taking an amplifier. I'll be calling on SSB for the first 10 minutes of each hour. I'll be operating one band each day, starting with 20 metres on Friday the 28th. I'll be keeping a special eye out for VK6s, but if you're not getting through, email me and we can organise a sked to get that VK9X confirmed for you. My email address is on my QRZ page at VK6SJ.
WA Amateur Radio News is the club that produces News West. The club was formed back in 2014 to provide some sort of structure to ensure the future of amateur radio broadcasts in Western Australia. So what sort of structure is in place? WA Amateur Radio News is an incorporated association in WA, has a bank account with a modest pool of money in it to pay for things like licences, insurances, promotion costs, and so on. WA Amateur Radio News manages the VK6.net website, which is maintained mostly as an amateur radio resource gateway for Western Australians. We don't have a clubhouse or a regular meeting venue. Any incorporated association has a constitution, and at the beginning of the document it lists the objects of the group, the things that the group exists to do. The WA Amateur Radio News constitution lists of objectives include, but are not limited to, provide amateur radio news. We do that every Sunday of the year. It's a busy job, but very clearly defined and simple to execute. Secondly, to conduct activities that educate, support, develop, and promote amateur radio communications and electronics. Perth Tech is the outstanding execution of this object. In fact, since we commenced presenting Perth Tech, we haven't conducted smaller courses such as Newshound. And thirdly, to facilitate interaction between amateur radio clubs. This is partly achieved through our club focus episodes, and our promotion of clubs is a useful means of growing the hobby. So, that's WA Amateur Radio News in a nutshell. We're a small club and could do with a few more members. And you don't have to be a newsreader to be a club member. There's room for people to just be members, to help out occasionally, or hold a committee position. Our contact is secretary@vk6.net. Our website is vk6.net.
Online, on air, and on demand, this is News West, the VK6 amateur radio news broadcast. You can hear us on a multitude of frequencies around the state and indeed around the country. Our website is vk6.net, and this is VK6 ARN. That's VK6 amateur radio news.
Unless you've been living under a rock for the past few weeks, you'd be aware that Perth Tech is on October the 23rd. So, if you've just emerged from underneath said rock, this is for you. Perth Tech is on October 23rd, and it's being held in Gidgiganup. Let me remind you why it's being held in Gidgiganup. The venue is really good, and it's bigger and much more versatile than the one in Bassendean that we've used previously. The setting in the Perth Hills is delightful, and will be more so in the spring. We're working on being able to park caravans or campervans on or near the venue. An awful bushfire devastated parts of this and other nearby communities, and supporting local business helps with the community recovery process. Perth Tech is a day of presentations of a technical nature for amateur radio hobbyists. On the Sunday, there will be practical workshops and demonstrations at various locations yet to be determined. As in previous years, there is room for trade tables, including special interest groups. We'll call for bookings of those later on. Perth Tech is free to attend. However, we are charging $20 per ticket fee, and most of that pays for your lunch. The fee is not optional, and we can cater for special dietary needs. We hate to say this, but last time we ran Perth Tech, there was a significant number of those attending who didn't pay for lunch, but they all lined up for their serve. The cost of staging Perth Tech is quite high, and we plan to cover most of the cost by running a raffle. More on that later. There will be a day raffle as well, and we'd happily accept donations from clubs, businesses and individuals to go into the prize pool. We're asking clubs to promote Perth Tech to their members, and we're promoting Perth Tech to interstate amateurs. Are you friends with an amateur living interstate? Invite them over. Offer home hospitality, maybe. If you haven't already done so, please block out that weekend, 23rd of October, for the Perth Tech. We have the space and facilities for larger numbers, so let's put them to good use. 73s.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ, for the club, this month's Club Focus segment for the Northern Corridor Radio Group. Our EME hut continues to draw nearer to completion with the three-phase power now run to the new building and just needing connection. At our last monthly general meeting, we elected to change our meeting day permanently to the fourth Sunday morning of each month. Next month is our annual general meeting and we're calling the membership for nominations for all committee positions. Planning for Hamfest continues with the hall now booked and 13 sets of tables already requested. Hamfest will be on the 29th of August. We always try to do something different each year, so this year we will have two presentations on different aspects of the Square Kilometre Array, presented by senior members of the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research, which will be held in the room in front of the kitchen area. We'll also have our raffle as normal. More details will be provided in the next Club Focus. A tech night for May was on how to manage the EMR requirements of our licences. This coming month, Matt will be leading a class on making a 6-metre vertical antenna, with quite a few members already signed up for the class. We are starting to think about the Remembrance Day contest now. We're hoping to put together a good team of CW and SSB operators, and with three stations running on all bands, we're also looking to field teams for the Oceania and CQ Worldwide contests later in the year. If you're interested in contesting and want to be a part of one of the better contest stations in Australia, come along and join our merry team. We can always do with more active contest operators. Big shout out to Wes, VK6WX, who is going to be operating the CQ World WPX CW contest this weekend from the club, but is home in bed and not feeling well. Get well soon, Wes. One of our members, Steve, VK6SJ, will be on Christmas Island by now, operating under the call sign of VK9XX. Call sign of the Christmas Island Amateur Radio Club. He'll be on the island from the 27th of May to the 11th of June for work, operating from 1100 to 1500 Zulu and from 2200 to 000 Zulu each day, operating from 20 to 80 metres on FT8 and SSB, with CW on request only. More information is on qrz.com under VK9XX. NCRG meets informally on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and formally every fourth Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Did you know that there's a slow scan TV net on air every day of the week and that it's a VK6 group? The WA Slow Scan TV net is an informal group of like-minded radio amateurs who get together to send and receive images or text, make comments and to have a chat. The net operates on 80 metres on 3.630 MHz, using EasyPal digital software program for Windows. Modes used are standard or hybrid. The group also runs analog slow scan TV sessions on Sundays and Wednesdays, starting at the same time, which is 4 p.m. Perth time, and on the same frequency, using MMSS TV, slow scan TV software. All amateurs are welcome to join in, either sending images or just in receive mode, and certainly to join in the chat and signal reports. Shortwave listeners are welcome to join in as well. There are other groups that operate in the eastern states most days on 7.208 MHz and can often be heard from early evening local time. Of course, the popular slow scan TV frequencies are on 20 metres at 14.230, that's analog, and 14.233 for the digital. Although the WA Slow Scan TV net is an informal group, you can still get in touch to get more information on what they do, how to set up EasyPal, etc. You can either come up on the frequency during or after the session, and the group will try to answer your questions, or otherwise fill out the contact form on the website and someone will get back to you. The WA Slow Scan TV net has a website and it's wasstv.net. Did you get that? wasstv.net. Let's just pop back onto Perth Tech for a minute. The Perth Tech Call for Abstracts is still open, and if you're considering making a presentation, that's the place you start at. It's an on-screen form where you give your contact details and up to 300 words to describe what you want to present at Perth Tech. And while on the subject of Perth Tech, we're currently compiling a list of accommodation options in the area. In fact, we may be able to accommodate caravan parking on the site, but that's yet to be negotiated with the site owners. And all this stuff is available to be seen, to be acted on, to be clicked on at the vk6.net website, and click on the Perth Tech tab.
Hi, this is Steve, VK6SJ, with this month's edition of Club Focus for Ham College. Our next foundation course is next weekend and is already full, meaning we expect another 8 new amateurs on air soon. The next course will be held on the 7th and 8th of August, with the exams on the Saturday following that weekend. We can take additional exam candidates for the August exams as long as you apply to Ham College prior to the end of June. The standard course has morphed into an advanced class now, with 8 regular attending students, and all are doing very well and all confident passing the course. Under the guidance of our new course director, Randall, VK6WR, we are getting more and more organised with the course, creating lesson plans as we go this year, and working on how to tailor the course more dynamically to suit the skill sets of each class. This month we'll be adding a few new antennas to our station, providing a new home for the Ham College beacon on 2 metres, as well as providing an antenna for 40 and 80 metres. We're starting to plan for JOTA, which we've missed for the last couple of years. We already have quite a few scout and guide groups signed up for the weekend in October and looking forward to it. We're planning to make a bit more noise for JOTA this year and trying to organise skeds overseas as well to generate more interest in the JOTA aspects of the weekend. For more information on Ham College, visit our website at www.hamcollege.org.au.
From Western Australia, this is VK6ARN, and you're listening to News West.
A recent email thread discussed the merits of joining or rejoining the Wireless Institute of Australia, with a predictable variety of responses. For some, it was black and white. There were unconditional yeses and implacable noes. So why the divide? Well, to begin with, there have been people who disliked the WIA for some reasons lost in history. Sometime around 2010, when commenting on why people don't like the Wireless Institute of Australia, the then president, Michael Owens, who is now Silent Key, said something like, "It's because someone from the Wireless Institute said something offensive to my brother-in-law in 1962. I guess it boils down to the need to give a reason for not wanting to join or to remain a member. So why do we need a representative body for amateur radio in Australia? After all, aren't all the decisions about band allocations to amateurs made by the International Telecommunications Union? Yes, they are. However, those decisions don't automatically pass on to the amateur radio sector in each country, at least not here in Australia. The government spectrum regulator in each country must then grant spectrum access to the radio sector. It's seriously doubtful that the regulator in this country, the ACMA, would see something passed at the ITU and automatically grant it to amateurs. It doesn't work that way, and that's why someone needs to push and shove on our behalf. So, we need the Wireless Institute of Australia, or something like it, to give the ACMA a nudge for us. Is the Wireless Institute of Australia doing that? Well, yes, but they don't appear to be doing it very effectively at the moment. Part of the problem is that the board hasn't been working very well, with tension and conflict between directors, and we've yet to see how the new board will run. And I'm a bit dubious there, because the new board is mostly old board. The Wireless Institute has spent far too much time and energy in recent years crying foul when they lost the deed with the ACMA. Instead of rallying and cutting their losses, they started blaming other people and accusing the ACMA and others of corruption, misconduct and theft of intellectual property, none of which were ever proven. And they're also wasting a lot of energy and credibility bemoaning the existence of the Radio Amateur Society of Australia while at the same time trying to deny its existence. There's quite a hefty dissonance there, isn't there? When it lost the deed, the Wireless Institute missed a golden opportunity to change its focus from processing call sign requests and managing exams to something far more productive and beneficial to amateur radio in the long term. They could have shaken the dust of the deed off their feet and moved into the much neglected space of education. Imagine if all that energy went into revision and modernising of the AOCP syllabus, if it went into redesigning the courses, But what did they do instead? When the ACMA called a meeting with the Wireless Institute of Australia and the Radio Amateur Society of Australia representatives to set up a review of the AOCP syllabus, the WIA representatives refused to attend, and the ACMA called it off. In fact, after that, the ACMA then said it only wanted to deal with a united approach from amateur radio societies. To this end, RASA has made several approaches to the Wireless Institute Board to set up joint approaches to ACMA on key issues, and these have been ignored. And let's be clear, the ACMA doesn't have a clue about amateur radio. All they know, and all they really care about, is what the law requires, and sometimes they get that wrong. Recent examples are the removal of the relevance of the numeric component of our call signs that indicates in which state we are. This was implemented with no industry consultation, and their justification was that the law doesn't require a state identifier. And that, friends, is why we're in a bind. We need representation to the ACMA, and it's up to us, the amateurs, to ensure that it happens. Whether you're a member of the Wireless Institute of Australia, or the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, or both, it's up to you to make them accountable for doing what they're there to do, because nobody else will. I'm Bob VK6POP. Anthony VK6AXB from WAG, the West Australian Repeater Group, advises that their next meeting is on Monday, June the 14th, as the first Monday in June is a public holiday. This meeting will be WAG's AGM, as the previously scheduled AGM on May the 3rd was postponed due to the COVID restrictions over that weekend, so fingers crossed for June. The meeting will take place at the regular venue, which is the Pelican Point Sea Scouts facility in Crawley at number 12 Australia 2 Drive. Doors will be open at 7pm for a 7:30 start. Tea, coffee and refreshments are available, and there's usually time for socialising before and after the meeting. Nominations are still open for committee positions, including the role of secretary. If you have questions or would like more information, send an email to the secretary at whiskeyalfaromeogolf.org.au. That's warg.org.au. And he says he's looking forward to seeing you at the meeting, and if you can attend, that's great. Thanks to the team at News West for putting this to air. Oh, we're great guys.
Hi, this is Steve again, VK6SJ. As some of you may be aware, I put together the club news article for VK6 for the WIA national magazine Amateur Radio. A couple of years ago, we used to fill about 4 pages with news from the West. Over the past 12 months, this has dribbled down to Ham College and NCRG, which I write, and the great team at Peel Amateur Radio Group always give me a segment. This is a big shout out to the rest of you to send me some news this month. Deadline for submissions is in the end of this coming week. It doesn't have to be fancy. Send me an email or even just send me what you put together for Club Focus and I can take it from there.
On News West next week, we'll be talking about contesting. There's a broad range of contest styles from QSO parties and sprints through to the big international, highly competitive contests. At News West, we like to promote the Australian contests and the more popular international ones. We can do that by trawling websites and other sources. But what about your contesting experiences? How about sharing some of your contesting stories and experiences? Or, perhaps, if you're already into contesting, something to encourage others to have a go. You can send us your story and hopefully your recording as email attachments to newswest@vk6.net.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, once again here with this week's helpline for the 30th of May 2021. Still looking for some help for a disabled amateur with some disabilities, minor disabilities in Balladura. Bob, VK6 Hotel Juliet, is looking for someone who can set up a station for him, a VHF, if nothing else, station. And would like to hear from anyone who can help. You can contact Jeff, who's helping Bob out. Jeff's on 0428712271. Again, that's 0428712271. Thank you. I have a QMAC HF90 HF miniature SSB transceiver. QMAC Electronics HF90 miniature military grade HF SSB transceiver with all programming channels programmed from 160 through to 10 meters, plus other Austravel frequencies in there as well. And it's capable of 50 watts PEP, has 255 memories, and can be programmed either LSB or USB and cell call. And if you're interested in that radio, please contact Steve. He's asking $700 for that. Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu. His email address is Sarah Tango Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tangopapagolf.com.au. I'll say again, Sarah Tango Echo Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. Available to a new home is an 80-meter two-phase vertical array. Operating bandwidth is 500 kilohertz. Power handling rated at 2 kilowatts. It's in all good working order, asking $1,000. Insulation drawings available. And item two in the antennas is a 20-meter four-square vertical array, operating bandwidth 300 kilohertz, 2 kilowatts rated power. And that's also available with all the installation drawings provided, $600 for that one. And we'll separate the 20-meter single vertical if required, make an offer. Next item is a rotary dipole, 30 metre to 40 metres, quarter wavelength, tapered aluminium, also rated at 2 kilowatts, asking $250 for that. Installation drawings are provided. If you're interested in those items, please contact Malcolm, VK6 Lima Charlie. His email address is vk6limacharlie@optusnet.com.au. Victor Kilo 6 Lima Charlie at optusnet.com.au. That's all I have time for this week. Let's bring this to the end, and thank you for listening. If you would like anything for next week's broadcast, please contact me. The email address is victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Again, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. You're probably sick of hearing it, but that's how it goes, I'm afraid. This is Roy, VK6XV, wishing you 7-3 till next time. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in. Please stick around for the callbacks. And if callbacks don't happen, jump onto the VK6.net website and register there. Don't forget to keep yourself updated on Perth Tech developments by visiting the website vk6.net/Perth Tech. This page is updated as soon as something new develops. Thanks to the news team this week, Mike, Roy and Jeff, and Andrew making the coffee, and to casual contributors, especially those who supported Club Focus this week. Now, if you didn't hear a contribution from your club, you've got a few weeks to make sure it happens on the next Club Focus episode. Thanks to the broadcasters for making it happen every week. I'm Bob VK6POP, the News West producer, and as the weather cools down, there's no better time than now to turn on your shack's heater, then get on air and make some noise.